Cigars.us.
CBS News Brief. In Southern California, Patty Phillips was reunited with a police captain who saved her after her car got stuck on a rock as she tried to flee the Palisades
fire. What an act of selflessness for you to run into a burning fire to save someone you don't know when you have a family of your own.
President Trump will soon tour the Palisades fire damage. Tonight, the Senate votes whether to confirm Pete Hegseth as defense secretary. New Jersey Democrat Andy Kim says Hegseth is not qualified.
Hegseth's appointment is an unnecessary risk in a dangerous global moment.
The president's immigration crackdown has begun with hundreds of migrants arrested and deported. Some of them were rounded up in Newark. Amy Torres heads the New Jersey Alliance for Immigrant Justice.
People are scared. We knew this was going to happen. And what we learned from folks that stayed behind was that ICE walked in like it was their empire's own conquered land.
Newark's mayor says none of those arrested were criminals. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Joining the ranks of those making a plea to do something about the intersection of Highway 10 and Highway 186 is one of the first responders who was on the scene of the most recent fatal crash on December 13th. That tragedy claimed the life of 17-year-old Casey Ramthan, a student at Lincoln High School. The first responder is Casey's aunt, Ashley Turner. In her letter, Turner describes what happened at the scene as she and other first responders tried to save her niece. She shared the devastating impact this death has had on her and her family that could have been prevented. Casey's grandmother read the letter to the Wood County Public Safety Committee and the county board. All those petitioning the Department of Transportation are asking that safety measures be added to this intersection. It is the only one where two highways meet along the redesigned four-lane Highway 10 without some kind of safety structure. Healthcare costs in Wisconsin are among the highest in the country. Wisconsin employers are voicing their concerns. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce surveyed businesses in the state, and 88% of employers predict their healthcare costs will increase even more this year. Scott Manley is WMC's Executive Vice President of Government Relations. He stated, these costs are not only a competitive disadvantage as they dip into employee compensation, investment opportunities, and more, but they also hurt Wisconsin families. When asked what state government could do to help businesses, 41% of respondents answered, make healthcare more affordable. Wisconsin's healthcare costs are among the fifth highest in the nation. The DATCP is still accepting applications for the 78th Alice in Dairyland until January 31st. Find out more at aliceindairyland.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks beat the Heat. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won their fifth game in a row, 125-96 over the Miami Heat. The Bucks didn't get back to Milwaukee until less than 3 hours before the game after being stuck in a blizzard for 3 days in New Orleans at the team hotel. Damian Lillard led with 29 points and had a pregame speech before the tip-off.
The situation that we were in, you know, the last couple of days is obvious, but you don't want the room to just be quiet and everybody to just kind of go out there and see what's going to happen. So for me, I just wanted to put that energy out there, like, you know, nobody gonna feel bad for us. Ain't no excuses. I don't want to hear I'm tired or I ain't feeling like you got to take the opportunity for the team to even have that type of mentality away. As a leader of a team, you got to let the team know off the rip, like, we not doing that. We not having excuses. I don't care about the flight. I don't care we've been in a hotel. Like, you got to take that away from the team.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the upper 20s. Mid-20s and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing well into the 30s. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Yes! Let's start the show. Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday to you. James here, solo edition of the show. But I am not alone. I got all of you out there to hang out with me and call in 715-424-2600. Hit us in the numbers. We are wide open. Call up and join the conversation. We'll talk whatever you want to talk about today. I think we got a pretty open show. There's nothing too pressing, I would think, that we have to dive right into. So whatever you want to talk about, we'll get into. We got River Kings to talk. And as we're going to talk River Kings, I'm going to throw this out there real quick. We're giving away tickets today, and we're going to give them away early because I'm only going to be here for about an hour, and I want you to be able to go to the game tonight if you want to go. So what we're going to do is give away the tickets. We're just going to throw them out there, and you just got to tell me one of your favorite. Well, give me a good hockey player. Give me, and I don't mean just pull like Wayne Gretzky. I don't mean that. I mean I want a good name. I want a good hockey name from you. Get that to me. You can get two tickets to see your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings tonight, tomorrow, or any other remaining home games. Of course, remember that we will have those home games for you right over on our sister station 105.5 WIRI as we follow the boys of winter up and down the river throughout this whole regular season and into the playoffs. Oh, I cannot wait. If you cannot tell. Speaking of playoffs, we're going to talk NFL playoffs a little bit. And before we wrap up the show, I got a good one for us. A little bit of an extended stat of the show today. I thought, you know, we don't really locally here have too much rooting interest, I would think, in any of these teams. Kansas City's probably the closest locally, but everybody seems to be tired of them, except me. I'm not. But everybody else seems to be. So maybe that's not and let's be honest, even I can admit that I don't necessarily need to see them in the Super Bowl. I've seen that twice already. I wouldn't mind seeing Buffalo in there. So with that being said, we don't really have a rooting interest. Maybe you're watching the games this weekend. You're looking for something interesting to see. Well, I have the five biggest comebacks in NFL history. So whatever team you're rooting for this weekend, say they're down by 10, 20, you can remember these stories and kind of keep that in mind. And even if you don't have a rooting interest, maybe you might just see something interesting or history happen. Who knows? We'll talk about that. We got a couple of other fun things to get into as well. But I want to start with NFL coaching carousel. This is pretty much the biggest topic in sports right now. We can talk about the NFL playoffs being bigger. They're not. I'm sorry, they're not. There's no amount of people that are focused in on the NFL playoffs like they are the coaching searches and the different storylines going on with that. That's the way the offseason goes. As the season dwindles down to by teams, the game of football becomes a regional sport. And more in Philly, obviously they care about this. In the DMC, they're caring about this a lot. Over in Kansas City, Buffalo, this means the world to them. You ask how they feel about this in Vermont. In most places. But if you ask them, hey, do you care about this coaching news or something like that, or free agency signing, any of these things? This is this is what keeps this industry and this sport so relevant and keeps it in the number one spot. That even in the off season or in off games, when your team isn't playing games, people still care. For those that haven't heard, the Jaguars have hired Buccaneers offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen. I'll give you $1 million if you can call up and tell me everything you know about Liam Cohen and anything you know about Liam Cohen. I'm kidding. I'm joking, obviously. But I don't think a lot of people know who he is necessarily. There's nothing against him. Just not one of the bigger names that we have seen out there. That is a big signing, but the biggest signing of the day, and really I would think the week, even if you want to include the offensive coordinators for Detroit signing with their teams that they did, Pete Carroll is back in coaching. Not just that, he's coaching the Raiders. 3-year deal. He's going to have a lot of control over there. It looks like as the Brady Raiders, or we got to come up with a name for that, because this is really Tom Brady's Raiders now, right? They're just giving him the whole entire thing, even though he's still calling games for other teams and talking to players and coaches and all this stuff and everything. The way they make that work is such a joke. You cannot convince me there is one other player in NFL history they would do that for. They wouldn't even do that for Peyton Manning. Like, the Golden Boy, though, they're going to do it for him. They're going to do it for Brady. But regardless, Pete Carroll is back in coaching. I think that's exciting. I will admit, I kind of wanted him a little bit more than Ben Johnson for head coach. Now, it didn't make a lot of sense because you've got a young quarterback and you want that to grow with your young coach. But I just like Pete Carroll, and I think he's won everywhere he's gone and proven himself as a not just a good coach, a good leader. And a guy who can really turn things around. It's the best thing to happen to the Raiders in ages. I can't even think of the last. I mean, Art Shell, I don't know the last coach they had that actually gave me any kind of confidence. I think that's a really good move for them, and that's pretty cool. It should be interesting to see how that plays out. But the two remaining teams, the Cowboys and New Orleans Saints, are very interesting as well, especially the Saints position. I think that has a lot to do with money and finding the right guy for the right money. But the Cowboys situation is darn near fascinating to me. Let's find out from you. 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation like our man right here. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
What happened if I was a girl with it? You said, man.
I took a shot in the dark. I took a shot in the dark, and I was hoping. You're right, though. You're right. I could have gotten called out on that one. How you doing, man?
I put your name in for that Cowboys job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I think you and Jerry Jones will be able to coexist a little bit, maybe.
I think I would last longer in China than I would with Jerry Jones. But I'll take the money. I'll take the money. I'll definitely give it a shot. The kind of money that you get for that. Here's the thing that I hear. It's only from us as fans. When it comes to players, when it comes to coaches and people in the league, they don't. I won't say that they love Jerry Jones, but nobody seems to really have any issues with him. It seems to be more fans do. And if I'm a head coach, if I'm a wannabe head coach, there's only 32 of those jobs. If I take the Cowboy job, I got a starting quarterback. I got a number one wide receiver. I've got a number one on defense. I've got pieces. Got a salary cap I don't like. I got a GM right. and an owner that is going to be difficult to work with. But at the same time, when I'm Mike McCarthy and I put out the last offensive play that I had in a playoff game was putting three offensive linemen out there with Ezekiel Elliott at quarterback. Who's taking all the questions? It's the owner. It wasn't McCarthy. It was the owner. It was Jerry Jones taking all these calls. And he takes the shots. And for what it is worth, as somebody who, in my family, there may be no bigger thing than loyalty. And Jerry Jones is loyal, for better or worse, and whether he should be or not to some of the people he has been, like Garrett and McCarthy, even maybe a year longer than he should have. He is loyal. He bears down with those people. So to me, I don't know. I'm a little surprised that this job, every time it comes open, is not more intriguing to people, and that you have to go with a Jason Garrett or a Mike McCarthy. It's wild to me.
Well, he's loyal. I mean, I get that he's loyal to his coaches and stuff like that. I just think people don't want to be part of the show.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because with Jerry Jones at the show, he's got to have the say. You know, if I'm a head coach, you hired me to be the head coach. You need to hire a GM that knows what he's doing, for one thing, and get players that I want in my system. Not just what you want in your system, and you want me to coach your system. It's going to be, if you want me, I want to be part of that system. I want my system in there. I want to be able to say who can be in there. Dak Prescott, I'm sorry, when that's going to be an $80 million hit on their cap next year, that's a joke.
Yeah.
That's just a plain old joke.
I want to be real clear, too. I said I held back because I was going to say, like, you got a good starting quarterback. I just said you got a quarterback. Because I don't even know how healthy he'll be for the season or how long he's got or anything when it comes to that. I just see it as such a better job than some that were out there, like the Raider job or some of these. And I got to think that when you're left with nothing else, it's got to be that. It's got to be so much the pomp and circumstance of being in the show. And if you're going to have all that, you're not even the face of the franchise. You're not even the guy that, is the main guy. I think a lot of these coaches, in fact, I know a lot of these coaches, there is ego involved. And you don't want to have to share that with Jerry or anything. But at the same time, Bill Parcells worked for him. I mean, I can't think of many more throwback ego coaches than Bill Parcells and those two. They didn't win a championship, but they worked together for a couple of years. That was a younger Jerry and an older Parcells, right. So there are those factors as well.
But me, as for the head coaches and new hires and stuff like that, as a Bears fan, did you put palm to forehead when Ben Johnson kind of come out and said that, I enjoy beating Matt LaFleur two times a year?
So I listen to The Score every once in a while. I don't listen to it like I used to. But this week, because of the news and everything, I've been checking in on it. And I'm curious about something. So I heard them touch on this a little bit. But every day this week, on every station that I hear in this market and in Wisconsin, I hear them talking about this. They will not let this go. Why do you guys care? Lovie Smith came out and said the same thing, and I didn't hear anything about it. Why do people care that he said this? Like, it comes across like we're in your head, and that feels ridiculous to me. Why would you care? You got a billion things on your plate to be worrying about, other than what a new rookie coach is thinking in Chicago, a team that you've beaten the daylights out of for two decades. Why is it like I barely listen? And this is nothing against Bill Michaels. It's more about just not wanting to listen to other radio and that kind of thing. But I hear him every once in a while. And twice this week when I flip over there, him and his callers are whining, just whining and whining about this. I don't get it. Why do you care?
I don't care. It's just it's funny because I work with a couple Bear fans and they're like, why did you just put more material on the board?
Oh no, I love it. I love it. Real quick, man. If we were going to lose 40-0 to you guys two games next year, that's going to happen whether he says this or not. He just won over his locker room. He don't care what Packer fans think. He won over his locker room. You would want Matt LaFleur to do the same dang thing. Don't. I mean, come on. You want your coaches? This is football. It's us against the world. Coach plays us against the world. That's the game. I in high school, they were doing it to me. These guys do. Why are you letting it? Like, we're talking about this? What a rookie coach just said because of this, we're going to talk about it. Like, I personally love that he did it, and I have no issue with it, but it was also, okay, that's great. Now, what are you going to do with Caleb? Like, I moved on. Right. I haven't. The only reason I keep thinking about it is because I keep hearing Packer fans talk about it.
Well, I don't want to make a big deal. I just think it's kind of because, I mean, Eberflus said it. All the coaches have said it, that my goal is to beat the Packers. You know, you and I talked about this back in the 80s when the Packers sucked and the Bears were good. Mm. You know, my season for the Packers, if they beat the Bears twice, hey, that was a successful season for the Packers.
Well,
I get where the coach is coming in because, I mean, you hate to say it, but we have owned the Bears throughout the last 30 years, you know. Yeah. And I don't have an issue with the coach, but it's just kind of funny because, you know, like I said, some of the Bear fans that I work with, they're like putting palm to forehead, like, why are you doing this?
I disagree with that. I think that no matter, this doesn't change. It isn't as if the Packers needed motivation to play the Bears. It isn't as if they need, we got to get ourselves up now because Ben Johnson said something. Like, get out of here. I mean, guys are warriors, and half these guys don't even care about the rivalry. Half these guys aren't from here. This is a job to them. A good 90% of NFL players could give a darn less what fans think. They like fans. They care about fans. I'm not saying that, but as far as loyalties to teams and everything go, they're signing a paycheck, man. Every once in a while, you get a guy that played in his home for his home team or something like that. But like Saquon Barkley is doing right now for Philly, some of those things. Right. But you don't see that very often. I genuinely think that if you were bothered by this as a Bear fan, a Packer fan, a Cowboy fan, whatever you are, I wonder how much football you've taken in because this is coaching 101. This is what you do. I would want whoever the next coach is for the Green Bay Packers, I want him to come out in his press conference and say, number one rule, beat the Bears. I want him to say that. This is our rivalry. This is what we have. And here's the dirty secret about all of this, Kev. I don't know if your other Bear fans will tell you or not. This is all we got. We don't have Super Bowl expectations. We don't have maybe we can hope to get into the playoffs. Maybe. But we're not even talking about winning a round of the playoffs. So if we can beat Green Bay once, twice a year, that is our Super Bowl right now because we're a rebuilding team. And we have been for, let me double check here, 30 years. 30 years the Chicago Bears have been rebuilding. God, that's disappointing. Can we move on? Can we?
I think a lot of it, though, too, is how he said it, though, too. Like you said, this is cooler talk is what it comes down to, is how he said it of, I have all the most respect for McDonald and then with...
Because him and LaFleur are friends.
Because,
He's not friends with the other guys. With LaFleur, yeah. He's friends with him. So it's a bit of gentle ribbing between the two.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, I get it.
I can't wait to hear LaFleur say something similar back or anything like that. Watch them at the end of the first Bear-Packer game and watch those two shaking hands and holding each other for a minute like two old friends. Because that's, you know what this is, and this is not anywhere near the same people or anything like that. But you had a Lombardi and you had Papa Bear Halas that were best friends, and they would not let the media know about it. This is going back to wrestling. This is going back to two guys that you see them in the ring, and oh my God, they hate each other. When actually 2 hours later, they're having coffee together at some Denny's or something like that, talking about the match and everything, and not wanting to ruin K-Fab or anything. It's a lot of that, and I love it. I eat it up. I want more of it. I would ask both team guys to do this a little bit more back and forth. I think it's fun.
Right.
I agree with you that it's a little bit early for it. But in your opening press conference, why not? I mean, we saw the Indiana coach come out, the new coach for Indiana, not new, but the guy who just took the job at Indiana and took them to heights that university has never been. It wasn't even his opening press conference. He went to an Indiana basketball game and started calling out Big Ten teams. Like, that's coaching. That's coaching football. Right. I don't know that you can get away with it in baseball. I don't know if there's certain sports you can, but in football, if my coach ain't like, I just got done with a sack. I just got done with a guy. He took a cleanup and he looked really nice and he seems like a really nice guy. But Eberflus, not once did I ever have a belief in this guy. I had to talk myself into him. I had to talk myself into Mark Trestman. I had to talk myself into Matt Nagy. I believe in Ben Johnson. I believe in this guy. He may flame out as the same as the others did, but the biggest difference for me, and I think the biggest difference in this division and two teams that are that don't like the Bears, is that this one seems like a smart hire. It's the hire that everybody told them that they should do, and they actually did it. Now, whether that means it is smart or not, who knows? But that is the dangerous thing, I think, with this for all NFL fans, let alone fans of these teams.
Well, and that's the thing, though, too, with Ben Johnson. I mean, how many offensive coordinators has the Bears really hired?
29. 29. No, I don't know, but it's at least 29 or 30.
I mean, it's been a while since they've hired a good offensive coordinator.
Yep.
And this guy, look what he did in Detroit. He was there for, 3 years or whatever he was, and he was, it was 5-1 against the Packers or whatever it was. I'm not saying it was a wrong hire. I mean, I really feel that you probably picked up, maybe picked up four extra wins.
Maybe. I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, three or four, something like that. Yeah.
3-4 wins. I mean, that could have, they're right there. I mean, and.
We'll take it.
Right. So, I mean, like I said, a lot of this is just cooler talk. And it's going to be, it's just one more thing that's just going to fuel the fire for fans in both markets with both fan bases.
Look how
you guys got excited last year with getting the first round draft pick. You guys thought you guys were going, some fans felt you guys are going playoffs, Super Bowl, and all this stuff because you had it.
Olin Krutz, a longtime center, one of my favorite Bears of all time, had a great line. He said, "Hey, the Bears won the offseason again. How'd that work out for us?" He's a Bear fan. He's even honest about it. I think that the rational fan, which there is not many of, I know, but I think rational fans look at this and are just excited that they're doing something. That they're doing things it seems like for the most part doing some smart things. Who knows? It's you still got the same people signing the paychecks. One thing I'll say about the Bears to piggyback on also the Cowboys situation we were talking about earlier. If there is one major change that needs to happen in the NFL, outside of them, of course, opening up coaching opportunities for people and everything, and maybe akin to that, quit hiring your family. Family. They're family. They're already taken care of. You're the owner of the team. Put them in the will. If you really want to do something for them, put them in the will. You really want to work with your family, hire them in concessions. Quit giving them these big jobs. It never works out. The Raiders are still in turmoil from all of this. Just because one guy knows what he does, like Al Davis, doesn't mean his son with the weirdest haircut I've ever seen does. you quit doing that. McCaskies did the same thing. Virginia did the same thing and handed the whole team to her sons. Look at what they've done with it. I don't think it works out. I'll say this. I love my kids more than anything in the world. And maybe the biggest thing that I want to do with them as an adult and them as adults is give them opportunities and create a ladder that they can help climb up on or something like that. If not, you know, ride their coattails, of course. But my daughter, I've worked with a lot. My oldest daughter, Bree, I've worked with her a lot. If she wasn't an entertainer, if she wasn't a writer, if she wasn't doing podcasts or anything, you'd have never heard her voice on these airwaves. Like, she's on the air with me because she's very good at what she does. She's talented. I put her in these positions because I know she can achieve that. She's good at them. Not because, hey, Bria, get on the microphone. I don't know. I've never done this before. Oh, you're my daughter. You should get in there. You know what? Forget about Seth and Melissa. I'm putting you in there. Like, that's the equivalent of that, is putting people in jobs that they are not qualified for. They don't know what they're doing. And it shows. There's no evidence to prove otherwise. Quit hiring family. And I it's so weird for me to say that, because in almost any other industry, I really don't have any issue with it. I think it works out a lot of times, actually. I don't think it's such a bad thing, and I think that that's just how life works sometimes. But in sports, and especially in football, they got to get over this.
Well, yeah, and you're right. I mean, you're right on that end of it, because, I mean, I see it in my family, just how you said it, too. I mean, I just
you got to think about these things as far as do you want, what do you, and if I'm a fan, when I see this stuff, I see I see business owners. I don't see team owners. I see business owners. I see people that are worried about getting in the black, not winning a playoff game. And as long as that's the case, you're never going to have any better. I'm not a big fan of tech billionaires and buying these teams up or anything like that. But look what happens when they do. They're doing stuff. They're trying to make things happen. They're trying to win championships. The Dodgers, we can hate them all we want. But my God, think about being a Dodger fan. Like, and you got nothing to complain about. Your ownership does everything they can to try to win. I mean, that's what we want as fans. And we don't get it when we have owners that are just, you know, hiring their family and just want to keep doing that. It'll be interesting to see what the Cowboys do with that situation, given all the factors.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to the next couple of weeks, because obviously you have two more hires to make, and it'll just be interesting to see which way they go. And you know, you're saying something about the.
I got to think you and I could, one of you or I, or maybe they'll take both of us, could take the New Orleans job, just if we're willing to do it cheap. If we're willing to do it cheap, I feel like that they'd give us the job, because that's got to be the only holdup there. I'm not saying it's a cream of the crop job or anything, but that job's been open for so long, and the fact that they haven't made a hire yet. The only thing that we know about New Orleans right now is that they're cap struck, and that they don't really have, there's no real stability there. There is no playmaker there necessarily. Alvin Kamara is on his, hopefully he's got a couple more years yet. I don't mind him or anything, but he's a running back. He's closer to the end than the beginning. Derek Carr is the same thing. Don't know what you have on that team with a quarterback or any of those things. So I know that those are factors, but the overall factor, if they had the money, they'd have had a coach by now.
Well, and that's the thing I was just going to kind of bring up, too, because they're on that cap, and, you know, Derek Carr has actually came out and said that he does not want to restructure his contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to restructure your contract to bring people in?
That's rough to me. I know that these guys, there's no guarantee after this, and you know, you don't know. It's probably his last contract and everything. But
Well, he's got the generational money, though.
He's got it. He's got it twice over. This isn't his first deal. Right. This isn't his first contract. And that loses a locker room quick. Like, I don't think I come public with that. If it comes public, then I'll deal with it. But if you're going to be that, and I wouldn't do this if I was him, by the way. If I was any quarterback, as soon as I sign that deal, I'm letting them know, hey, we can work on this. If it means I can get a number one wide receiver or something, we can talk. This isn't set in stone. If I'm Derek Carr, I just lost the locker room. How am I, as Alvin Kamara or any of these young players who are playing on a rookie contract, waiting for that second or third contract, how do I feel about that? This guy's not willing to give up a little bit just so we can bring in some better players or maybe even a good coach. It's going to be hard to... It's one thing when you lose the defense, when you lose a wide receiver or something like that. When you lose your offensive lineman as a quarterback, good luck. Good luck, man. Good luck. That don't seem to end well to me. That's kind of like trying to keep Jimmy Butler in Miami right now. Like, good luck getting him the ball. It just that ain't going to end well. That is not going to end well.
That was just going to kind of end with that, you know. And it's kind of funny how 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he wanted to be in Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, now he's doing accidentally missing the team play. He'll show up, you know, he'll meet the team there in Milwaukee. And then Milwaukee gets there 3 hours before the game's even supposed to start, and they just walk off the plane and beat you by 30 or 20 or whatever it was. Yeah. That was a pretty good game last night. I don't watch much NBA basketball, but that was – I watched that a little bit last night.
So. I don't think there's ever been a player that I admire and I enjoy as much and at the same time wouldn't want him on my team. Wouldn't want him on my team. Wasn't that happy when he was on my team, when he was a Bull. I was all ecstatic about Jimmy Butler coming out of Marquette and the way he could be. And the more and more he talked and more his personality showed, for everything I like about the guy, and there's plenty to like about him, there are this kind of stuff, like, look, man, you don't like where you are? Don't sign the extension. You don't like where you are? Go somewhere when the contract's up. You signed a deal. You're a grown man. You signed a contract. Fulfill it. You want to trade? Sure. Tell management you want to trade. That's fine. You're a grown man. You can do those things. But missing the bus or the James Harden stuff, like, you know, gaining weight and trying to, like, all this little, like, head games and drama. Man, get out of here. This is a grown man game. This is a grown man game. How are we supposed to be? Because one of the overall things about any sport is, what are you doing to build the sport and build the future of the sport? It ain't about right now. We don't plant trees for us to see them grow. We plant them for the kids to see them grow. If you're not playing this game that way, whatever the game is, and Jimmy Butler don't seem to be. Jimmy Butler's all about Jimmy Butler. And he ain't the only one, but the NBA's got a real issue with this right now. You got a lot of guys that only care about themselves. And that isn't going to grow the game. That isn't going to get people to watch the game. We've seen it. The numbers have been down. It's an issue that they're going to have to deal with. I am excited about for the Bucks. Andre Jackson Jr. has committed to the dunk contest. I think that's kind of cool. Yeah. There will be a little bit of a reason to watch for that and stuff. And he's got some skills. He could you know, sneak around and win that thing.
Well, the couple of games that I have sat down and watched the Bucks games, and I mean they actually got a pretty good team. And after listening to Mike Clemens' report this morning on this, with talking about how Damian Lillard, you know, kind of got up in the front of the team and said, you know, who cares what time we got off the bus?
Yep.
We got to show up and play.
Yep.
You know,
that's my guy. That's my guy.
That's the type of leadership that the Bucks need, because you think, telling you the truth, you think Giannis would have done that?
No, I don't. I hate saying that because I love Giannis, but I don't. This is what I love about Damian Lillard. And Damian Lillard wanted out of Portland, and what did he do? He wasn't a malcontent. He was a man about it. He went to the front and the management. He told them, hey, I want out of here. And they didn't go where he wanted. He didn't get exactly what he wanted, but he got a better situation.
Jimmy Butler, which how did that work out?
Yeah, because Jimmy Butler's going to end up in Memphis. Jimmy Butler's going to end up somewhere like something like that. He ended up in Phoenix. Anything could happen. I shouldn't say that because every time I think there's a contract that can't be moved, they somehow do it. But it's the rarest of things to think that he's going to end up in Phoenix and being able to wear those sneakers in Phoenix. I have a feeling he's not going to be in Miami, and it ain't going to be in Phoenix either. I have a feeling it might be in a cold weather place.
Everywhere's cold now.
What am I talking about?
As a coach or a GM, I mean, would you want that cancer in your locker room?
Not at all. He ain't worth it.
If he's gonna be this way now, I mean, what makes he doesn't do it again?
He wasn't worth it at 25. He ain't worth it at 35. I'm sorry. Yeah, he got two teams. He put two teams on his back and got him to the finals. Yes, blah, 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 blah. Did he win?
No.
How was he in those finals? How was he in those last games? Those games, that game five, that game six? What energy did he have left? How did his teammates have his back? I didn't see that. I didn't see any of that. And you know what else? All of this being said, I'm a fan of Jimmy Butler. I don't mind his game, and I kind of like have enjoyed his arc of his career. I like seeing a second round guy turn into an NBA All Star and all that. If it wasn't for some of this other stuff, I would be a fan of his. But the other stuff just keeps me from it. We got to get to break, man. Thank you so much for the time, Kev.
All right, James, you have a great weekend.
You too, man. Have a great one. We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back, and we'll have some more fun here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Step into the new year with a fresh style crafted just for you. Stand out and set trends with Quality Plus Printing and Wham Incorporated.
Create custom sports apparel that reflects your personality, elevate your wardrobe, and showcase your unique flair. When you look great, you boost your performance. This year, invest in yourself and stride onto the court, field, or track with unmatched confidence. Powered by Quality Plus Printing and Wham Incorporated.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers Mondays at 5:30 on WFHR, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the upper 20s. Mid-20s and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing well into the 30s. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Host James here. Brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Big thank you to the team over there at Quality Plus. Get to A Street South for all your printing needs. We're here for another half an hour. Man, we got plenty to talk about. Let's talk to you. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. We were talking earlier with Kev and our listeners about the NFL coaching and all that and getting into some of that. But there's a lot of predictions going on in the NFL right now. Now I want to talk playoffs with you too, and what who you got in the going to the Super Bowl and all that. We'd love to hear your predictions and everything. But for now, just taking a look at our NFC Central, and there's a big write-up right now at ESPN.com about the biggest off-season questions and priorities for teams. And just looking at our NFC North teams, the Detroit Lions are the big one. They got about $29 million in cap space. They have a pick number 28 in the first round. And their biggest offseason concern is certainly what to do at coordinators, offense and defensive coordinators. Most teams do hire from within and just kind of, bring the next man up. Linebacker coach becomes defensive coordinator. Wide receiver coach becomes OC. That kind of thing. See what happens there. I do think if you're a Detroit fan, and I'm a semi-Detroit fan, I am rooting for them when they're the only team left in our division, those kind of things. And I just like the storyline of Detroit. I like seeing them good and all of that. I wouldn't worry. You've got the big piece. You got the culture maker. You've got Dan Campbell still. You lose him, that's a bigger story. That's a different story. As long as he's in the building, I would feel pretty good if I'm a Detroit fan. I'm not saying that you're going to win the division. I'm not saying that everything's going to be, smooth, but I would feel good about things. I'd be a little more concerned with Jared Goff, and I'd be a lot more concerned about re-signing Kevin Zeitler. He joined the Lions as a free agent on a one-year deal. Was a key part of that offensive line last year. You got to bring him back. If you are going to believe in Goff, you got to bring him back. If not him, you got to bring in somebody else on that O-line, because that was, to me, the biggest difference maker for Detroit this year was having a healthy offensive line. For all of the bodies going down for them, and man, quit giving Aaron Glenn so much heat for that 45-point game. I could have gone out there and played cornerback for them. They had nobody. Everybody, they lost starters during that game. Of course he gave up 45. Lucky it was, I'm surprised it wasn't more than that. They had nobody playing. Nobody was ready. Nobody was healthy. Minnesota, next up. They're 14-3. Finished 14-3. Got $10 million in cap. They don't have a lot of cap space. Number 24 pick overall. And, of course, the biggest question for them, what to do with Sam Darnold. We'll look at Green Bay and Chicago at some point. But we got a good friend on the phone right now. Is that you, Michael?
Yes, it is.
Hey, I thought it was you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right for you know, being national, have fun at day of work and national compliment day. You know, two things I really never get or do, but that's all right.
Well, I will compliment you. I saw your recent write-up in our newsletter. Fantastic work, as always, man. And it was it was really good hearing you calling these games this season over on the with the River Kings. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun bringing them to the listeners, and of course you, James. It's just always a lot of fun to be there and at the rink, and just getting ready to head on over yonder in the next, oh, I'd say about half an hour or so.
What is on your mind today?
Oh, man. You know, it's something we talked about a couple weeks ago, and it's because I'm just sitting here flipping through the channels trying to find something to occupy those couple synapses that I have, and I've got SEC women's basketball on LSU and South Carolina. So it's number 5 against number 2. And I'm just thinking back to where, man, I got to be honest with you, I've heard nothing about women's basketball this year.
Yeah, me too. I've had to seek out information like with some of these nicer players that they got out there, like the girl at USC, Juju, and a couple of other players out there. Certainly, you know, you'll hear about Breckers and UConn a little bit, but I'm with you. Even the Mouse Network doesn't seem to be covering it like they were recently. And I was afraid of this with the Caitlin Clark phenomenon. I was hoping that this wasn't the case, that the fans would stick with these teams and stick watching it. Maybe we'll see something different come March Madness. A lot of people's attention being pulled to football, of course, and the NBA a bit, and NHL. There's only so many hours in the day, but I'm with you, man. I don't like seeing this, and I don't like that it feels like it was a fad for some people, and it's not.
Right, and that's, you know, what do you do when the golden goose is cooked? Yeah. And that might be a bad analogy to it, but yeah, I mean, Caitlin Clark's in the WNBA now, and now who's there? I mean, obviously, like you said, UConn, you're always going to hear something about UConn, but once, like, Tara Vanderveer retired from Stanford, I mean, Gino Auriemma is really the only, I mean, Kim Mulkey, of course, but, you know, who... There's just, I'm not saying that's not flashy because I'm sitting here watching it. I mean, I'm here, but you just don't hear about it. And it's like, man, we can go off on a tangent about it. It's just, man, this isn't what it was. And it's like, it's not that it's a bad sport. It's not like the competitors are bad, because they're not. It's just, wow, so much has changed in here.
I'll say this, I watch both about equal amount, which isn't a ton, but I do watch both men's and women's college basketball, and I've been able to catch a bit of it this season because I don't sleep.
You and me both.
What South Carolina, what Dawn Staley's done with South Carolina has been a lot of fun. I do like watching them play, even if I don't know the players. I do like a lot of that, but I'm 100% with you on this. I don't see the game being any different. I see the coverage different. I see people
right.
And it's nothing against Caitlin Clark. I like her. I love her game. I really like her game a lot. I love the way she plays basketball. She's got a little bit of a Pete Maravich in her that I think is a lot of fun. That you just don't know, you know, what she's going to do with that ball, and the creativity that she has with it is very cool to watch. As somebody who loves the game of basketball, and I think the women's game needed more of that, and it's cool to see that. But it's not like she tried to do this, and it's not like she's wanting to hurt the sport, but it's almost as if, what's the point of raising the game up if we're not going to keep it up? If we're not going to keep it up there in that echelon in our eyes? I think we'll know a lot better when we have this conversation in April, you know, after March Madness and all that. I want to see how the ratings are and if they, you know, fans come back around then. But right now, I'm a little worried about it.
Yeah, that's two. It's we just maybe if we took it for granted last year and the year before when everyone's talking about it, and now no one is.
Yeah, you know, one thing I'll say that does help the women's game. They stay in college a lot longer, so we got a chance to get to know these girls a lot longer, and that's going to help them. Where what hurts the men's side of the game is going to benefit the women's side of the game. Where, you know, maybe we don't know their names right now, but again, come April, we know who they are, and we're waiting to see what they do next year. Maybe that brings fans back, too, because we had a couple of years to get to know Caitlin Clark. We had a couple of years to get to know the young lady at LSU and now in Chicago. There's a couple of players that stood out last year that I think, you know, they gave us a chance to get to know them. They were in college for a while. I really feel like the NCAA, you've got to figure out a way to get these kids to want to stay in college longer. NIL, I think, is one of the ways of doing that, because that's what's hurting them. And they need this in part because of the NBA, because the NBA is in danger. LeBron James is not going to be playing in the next couple of years. Steph Curry is going to be retiring soon. Kevin Durant's going to be retiring soon. The greatest American players, the face of your franchises and the face of the leagues, are going to be out. And what you're going to have replace them are Victor Wembanyama and the kid over in Oklahoma City, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You're going to have a lot of foreign-born players taking over the game who are really good athletes and incredible players. Victor Wembanyama is a freak. We've never seen anything like him, but they're not American. And say what you will, you can get mad at me for this if you want, but we don't pull for guys that aren't from here. We don't do it like we do others. We'll root for them. We'll pull for them a little bit here and there and everything, but we ain't going to make them the face of the league. That don't happen. That's just not what Americans do. We've seen it throughout. It's not like Hakeem Olajuwon or Dominique were ever going to be the face of the league or anything like that, and they were talented for all day. I wonder how the NBA is going to look in the next 5-10 years and how their ratings are going to look when the faces of all these franchises are foreign-born players. You need to focus on American basketball more. You need to make the college game more exciting, get these kids better in college, let them be known for a little bit longer, and keep the phone lines going here, because we lost Michael for a second there. Hey, Michael.
Hey, yeah, I guess just to tie up what you're saying, you know, you're right with LeBron and Curry and all those guys going to be stepping down, retiring soon, and I haven't really seen the next wave that really will do that other than Giannis, and he's getting a little longer in the tooth, and then maybe Wemby, but that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited about you calling the Kings tonight. You got a good one lined up. You're taking on the Mullets. Every game is a playoff game. We saw the look in Coach's eye on Wednesday. All these games are playoff games now.
Yeah, I mean, you've got these two at home, then you're two weekends on the road at the Blue Ox and then the Colonels again, and then you finish up back-to-back weekends at home. Those back-to-back weekends at home should be winnable games against Isanti and I believe the Dells. Man, they just got to finish strong, and hopefully the Squatch step in it a little bit.
Yeah, early in the season when we didn't have a home game for the first couple weeks of the season, this is what Coach was reminding us of, that, hey, you know, we're not having the home games now, but we're going to have them at the end of the season when we really want them, and we're in that time now. River Kings are in first place, tied points-wise with the Minnesota Squatch. The Mullets are in fourth place, but they're not that far behind in the standings, and with this many games left, I don't know that they can make up a difference by any means, but they can certainly play spoiler a little bit to the Kings and to the Squatch. So this isn't there's no team to take lightly necessarily in this division. This is certainly not one of them.
Right. I mean, as of right now, games as of Wednesday and Thursday. So they're done for the weekend, so they've technically got a 6-point lead that Rapids can, if they sweep the Mullets, if they cut the Mullets, whatever you want to call it, style them, I don't know. But if they win both games, then they'll just be two games behind. And then I think the Squatch, they've got some games coming up at another showcase in Chicago, where looking at some of their opponents, some of them are okay, some of them aren't very good, so I don't know if Rapids will be able to catch them. But, you know, we'll see. Weird things happen in this game called hockey.
Absolutely, man. Have a great time tonight, tomorrow night. We will make sure to send a bunch of people your way. You have a good time tonight, and thanks for calling in, man.
Hey, no problem. You guys have a great weekend.
You too, Michael. You too. One of our favorite additions around here, having Michael Kolmer joined us, covering high school, covering River Kings. If it's got sports in it, Michael's got it. He's covering it. And be sure to check out the newsletter, everybody. As good of a talker as Michael is, he's just as good of a writer, writing up a lot of our sports in our newsletter. Be sure to sign up for that at WFHR.com. Sign up for that newsletter. Shows up in your email box every Thursday, right around noonish. Got to count on it around then. We'll get to our second break of the show, final break of the show, final break of the week. But real quick, I wanted to throw this story out there. Ichiro Suzuki, we were talking about this the other day, about him not getting 100% of the vote, him getting into the Hall of Fame, and proving why he belongs in the Hall of Fame, the class of this man. Ichiro Suzuki wants to have a drink with the Hall of Fame holdout, the one person that didn't vote for him, wants to have a drink with him. I'd like to invite him over to my house, and we'll have a drink together, and we'll have a good chat. That's a great response. That's a great way to handle that. Kill him with kindness, man. We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap up Playmakers for the week on WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin Women's Basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the upper 20s. Mid-20s and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing well into the 30s. Currently, it's 17 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Got a handful of minutes left to show. We'd like to fill it with your phone calls. 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. You can still give me an obscure hockey player name and win some River King tickets. And you can watch the boys of winter build hockey up and down the river tonight, tomorrow night, wherever you choose. Got two tickets right here for you. Otherwise, if you can't make it to the Southwood County Rec Center tonight, be sure to follow the Kings over on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI. 7 o'clock puck drop tonight and tomorrow night, taking on the Minnesota Mullets. Mike and Chuck going to be covering that for you. Big shout out to both of those guys for being able to bring us these games. We can't do it without them. We appreciate them doing that. Have a good time tonight, you guys. And of course, the Kings, hope they have a good time tonight as well. Wanted to touch on wrap up that's what we were talking about our NFC North and how those teams are looking going into the offseason. We talked about the other teams, get Chicago and Green Bay in there. Chicago 5-12, $74 million in cap space, one of the bigger cap spaces in the NFL, and hold the number 10 pick. Biggest questions, of course, have been bringing in coaches and filling out that coaching staff, and what you do about Caleb Williams. And that offensive line, it's got to all be about that offensive defensive line for them. If it isn't, they're going to have the same season they did last year, if not worse. And no matter how good of a coach Ben Johnson is, if you don't have a good offensive line, if you don't have a defensive line that can penetrate, you ain't going nowhere. That is, to me, I don't know if I'm building a team, these are the first things I'm doing is building the line. Offense, defensive line, that's the first thing you got to do. I don't know that you can point out a team, no matter how good Patrick Mahomes was, they didn't have an offensive line in that Super Bowl they lost. They had no line, and I saw one of the greatest performances I've ever seen by a quarterback in a Super Bowl to in a losing effort because of that offensive line. You got to be able to protect your guys, and you need playmakers on defense. You need playmakers. You need guys that are going to disrupt the game that you have to plan for. If your defense doesn't have somebody that you can say without no question, that's a guy that we got to plan against, that's a guy we got to worry about, you don't have a defense. You know, there is no more of the, you know, the no-name defenses that were still good and everything. They may be all right during the regular season, but they ain't going to win you a championship. You're not going to get far in the playoffs. You need game wreckers. You need world breakers. People that are going to be able to do that on the defensive side of the game. We take a look one more team, of course, and your Green Bay Packers. And, the Packers are not in a bad position. I know that the season didn't end the way that we Green Bay fans would have liked to. But as far as looking at not just even in our division, but at other teams, the Packers are in a really good situation in the offseason. They've got, a decent draft pick, I would say. It's not exactly, again, what you might want, but it's better than most. And you've got cap room. You've got room that you can mess around with here and everything. I think there's a lot of people talking about them needing a number one wide receiver. There's a lot of people putting T. Higgins in Green Bay's uniform and everything, and I could see that. I don't think that's a bad idea. I do think that when you've seen Green Bay win Super Bowls, they've made moves in the free agency. And with $17 million in cap space, that's not a lot. But if you rework Jordan Love's deal and some things, maybe you can. Some guys like Luke Van Ness and some of these guys step up. Maybe you do have some more playmakers on defense. But with the number 23 pick, I think you'd like to see them go defense there. But I wouldn't, especially if they lose out on the T. Higgins situation. I don't know. I'll put one other thing real quickly out there, and we'll wrap this up. DK Metcalf is not is one of those receivers that with that may not be staying where he is. And if there's any room there, I'd be looking into that one. I'd rather have him than T. Higgins if I'm Green Bay. I mentioned this before. We're talking about the five biggest comebacks in NFL history as we're getting ready for the NFC and AFC championships this weekend. Take a look at these. Back in 2023, San Francisco coming back 17 points to beat Detroit. Remember that one? That was an exciting game. 2012, San Francisco came back against Atlanta, 17-point deficit there. That was an exciting game, too. And boy, Atlanta's got a couple of these, too, because back in 06, Indianapolis versus New England, 18-point difference. New England came back in that one. I'm sorry, Peyton Manning and the Colts came back in that one. Cincinnati versus Kansas City, 18-point deficit there. That was a big one. Kansas City came back in that one. And San Francisco and the Giants, 24-point difference maker in that one. That was back in 2012 in the NFC wild card. Jeff Garcia, quarterback in the 49ers back then. Man, there's a name I forgot about. Yeah, I forgot about Jeff Garcia. And Kansas City versus Houston, back in 2019, AFC divisional round. 24-point deficit they came back from in that one. Of course, the big one, 25-point deficit. New England was down in the Super Bowl, came back, beat Atlanta, upset every one of us outside of the greater New England area. I will never forget that game. Not because I really cared that much. I think I was pretty numb to New England winning by then, and I don't really, nothing against the Falcons. I don't have any real interest in the Falcons or anything. But that was hard to watch. That was like a snuff film. It was hard to watch that. Jacksonville versus Los Angeles Chargers, 27-point deficit. They came back in that one back in 2022. You had the Chargers collapsing in that one. And the biggest comeback in playoff history, Let me see. I believe it is the biggest one. Yes, of course, the big one. Buffalo Bills versus the Houston Oilers. 32-point deficit back in 1993, the AFC wild card. The comeback, it is called. I remember watching that game. Just lucky enough to happen to be watching that game. And I was a big Houston fan. I loved that offense. Warren Moon and those four wide receivers. One of my favorite names of a wide receiver of all time, Webster Slaughter. Curtis Duncan, and a lot of great players on that offense. And man, I had thought, Houston's moving on. Somehow they came back. Something to think about this weekend when we're watching these games, and if there are blowouts, or if your team's down a couple touchdowns, or if you're just bored and you're like, I don't know. You never know, man. I was watching that game, and I was all but writing Houston in the Super Bowl. It was a wild card game, and I thought they were going to move on to the Super Bowl after that. Nope, not exactly. And boy, Houston fans, I can't imagine that one. I don't know what feels worse, that or being an Atlanta fan. Nope, an Atlanta fan. Never mind. It's got to be a Falcon fan. It's got to be. Yeah. It's been a really fun week. We'll be here all next week. We'll be looking forward to it. We'll be bringing you playmakers throughout the week next week. Looking forward to it. Big thank you to all of our guests, our co-hosts this week. Certainly all of you out there and our sponsors. We appreciate all of you. Real quick, just wrapping up on a good story of the day. The Wisconsin Badgers basketball team, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr., when they were out playing USC and UCLA, took part in a community service project, giving back to local communities out there. I encourage you to check out that story, everybody. Be good to each other. Have a great weekend.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. California Governor Gavin Newsom just welcomed President Trump to LAX before Trump tours the wildfire damage.
Thank you for being here. It means a great deal to all of us, not just the folks in Palisades, the folks in Altadena that were devastated. We're going to need your support. We're going to need your help.
Trump has threatened to withhold fire aid unless California passes a voter ID law and diverts more water to L.A. It appears Pete Hegseth will have enough votes to be confirmed by the Senate tonight. California's Adam Schiff and his fellow Democrats are all expected to vote no.
This job is a heavy responsibility, and he is not the right person for the job.
The Supreme Court has agreed to decide whether states can prevent religious charter schools from receiving public funding.
The Supreme Court is taking a case that will test how much the separation really is between church and state, because the Supreme Court has decided to review on an expedited basis.
Loyola Law.